Folks, this room is filled this morning, and for that I do praise God. I want you to know that. I'm encouraged by it. I know it encourages the missionaries. And folks, let's do our best to see this room like this every service this week. Hey, listen, are there many things more important than coming to a service where we're going to hear about what God is doing around the world and what we can do as a local church family and getting involved ourselves? I'll trust that you'll do your best to be here each service tonight at 6, and then each night at 7 p.m. We will be having a special missionary service. Well, you'll be hearing from the missionaries specifically on what the Lord is doing in the countries God has called them to. Hey, folks, this is a testimony of the greatness of our God, and specifically to our local church. We were able to give over $90,000 to worldwide missions last year. That's awesome, folks. That's incredible. And I'd like to see that even go up to $100,000 for the next year. I believe God can do that. I certainly do. We, through our church, you folks, by faith, through our Faith Promise program, gave over $80,000. And then we added $12,000 through that, through our general fund. And that's how we got over $90,000 to reach these people, as Brother Daniel was saying this morning, who've never heard of the good news. I heard it once said one time, and I understand this. It says it's only good news to that person if it gets there in time. And we want to help the good news get there in time. And we can play a part in that, and I'm thankful. Those of you that did not get a booklet, I hope you'll get one before you leave. Take it home with you. Get yourself acquainted with these missionaries. And also, we give a list of those that we are currently supporting. And this is a tremendous prayer guide, if you don't already have one, for our missionary families. I've been teasing our church folks, and I'm going to ask you some questions this week, so be ready. And then we give a information sheet on our giving. We don't have anything to hide about where our missions funds are going. We're very transparent and open about that. Every penny that comes through Faith Promise is going directly to the missionary and to the missions that we support. And so that gives you a printout of where the funds are going. And then, of course, we got songs and things in there. So be sure that you get one of these. We'll print more if we need them. Well, now we come to the favorite part of the service, my favorite part, and that is the preaching of God's Word. To this morning, we have David Wilt, missionary David Wilt, coming. He's a good friend of mine. We met in Bible college. We both came from sort of rough backgrounds, if you will, that the Lord, by His grace, saved us out of. And Brother David and I started Bible college about the same time, and just really God knitted our hearts together in a special way. It's such a blessing. And God led he and his family to go to Staten Island and New York City, and has planted the Liberty View Baptist Church. And you're going to be thrilled to hear what God is doing there. David's got a video that I know will be an encouragement to all of us. But Brother David, I'm so grateful for you, brother, and your testimony. You come and preach what God has placed upon your heart, and I just want you to know, I love you, and I'm so glad you're here, brother. Amen.
All right. Well, it is great to be here. I'm a little jealous of your building. Of course, I meet every week in a storefront about there, you know, that size. And, you know, but praise God. We're packing it out.
Amen.
Let me just make sure I'm doing everything I'm supposed to.
On. Are you on there?
Yeah, I believe I'm on. All right. Well, we are glad to be here. I first want to say thank you to all the accommodations, the great spirit, you know, we've been received. You know, even the barbecue at Pastor's house was phenomenal. I'm a burger guy. I love burgers, and, you know, a good cold Mountain Dew. Thank you for that. I always joke with people about the Mountain Dew. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but Mountain Dew is kind of my last addiction. You know, I probably need to get rid of that too. But God saved me, you know, when I was 20, and I gave up all those addictions, and yes, I'm probably the last one that's lingered on. And who knows, maybe that was my lollipop in the mouth that kind of helped me get through some of that. Praise God. So, you know, I'm glad I'm just only Mountain Dew these days. You know, praise God. Yeah, there's a psalm about it. Yeah, I'll show you after service. There's a psalm, the dew comes down from the mountain. So it's in the Bible. I don't know why I have to give it up, but praise God. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. You know, planting a church, I still don't know how to do it, but we're doing it for 3 years. And we're doing something, And, you know, there was a discouraging time we went through. There's been some discouraging times. One, this was not it, but one of the times we had our apartment flooding. We're in Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. So as you're turning there, you know, our apartment was having septic flood. We lived in an apartment complex in the beginning that had 90 apartments. We were blessed that our only apartment got 90 apartments worth of bathroom stuff just coming right out of our toilets and showers. So that was a tough time. But there were some other tough times, more spiritual tough times. And there was a Sunday morning to where I was just burdened to just reassure my wife and myself that we're not going to quit, that we can't come down from the wall, that God's called us to build the work of God. And this message came out of that. And we had no children's ministries, no teen things going on. Everybody was in the main place, and I preached this message. And this is a blessing, because as you are committing this week to renew your compassion, if we think about what Nehemiah was called to do to build that wall for God, it really illustrates the work of God. You know, we ought to get busy for the work of God. We ought to plant churches all across the world, you know, all across our major population centers, but, you know, in needy areas across this planet. There's a need to get busy right now. If you're not giving to missions, become a part of it. You know, become a part of what God's doing. And so this morning I want to preach that message, Reasons I Can't Come Down from the Wall. But let's look at the text this morning, Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at the time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Sounds like a church planner. You know, I hadn't got to it yet, but we're planning to build something here. But in verse 2, then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. He sent them again. He said the same thing over and over again. And he basically repeated really what the title of the message is this morning, Reasons I Can't Come Down from the Wall. There's a work to do in this great world. There's reasons you can't stop giving to missions. There's reasons why your heart needs to be stirred toward missions this morning. There's reasons we can't stop what we're doing. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, would you help us this morning as we look to God's Word? Thank you for all those that are here, all the members, and even there's some visiting this morning. And I pray, Lord, that your will would be done and that the Spirit of God would do His work. Lord, we can't do anything. We can't preach without you. We can't plant churches without you. We can't go into foreign countries and plant works over there without your Spirit of God. May the Spirit of God have and do His work this morning and have His way. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, church, this morning, let's get to the work and work on the house of God this morning. Let me read you something. What a precious truth from the Word of God. In this year, 455 B.C., the Israelites were busy rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And the city of Jerusalem had been utterly destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar in 586 B.C. And now Nehemiah is overseeing this project. He's building this work. And, you know, all of a sudden the enemy comes. The enemy wants to distract him from what he's doing. And so the enemies of God came to hinder, you know, we see that in verse 8, the work of God. And the builders of the wall could have easily stopped building. They could have given ear to the enemy instead of going to, you know, and to fight the enemy, the enemies of God's work. But they stayed the course. We need to stay the course of what God's called us to do. If you've given last year, think about increasing. If you've given, you know, at least stay the same. But, you know, let's keep going forward. And there's reasons why we can't stop. Number one, the first reason we can't come down from the wall and we can't stop the work of God is, number one, because Jerusalem lieth in waste. Anymore, you know, I used to say that, you know, I used to preach this, you know, in different times, but, you know, just turn on the news, turn on social events. You'll see that our country is falling apart from its very fabric. Now, I don't want to get on to some crazy things this morning, but no matter what's going on currently in social constructs of what's happening in our society, evil men shall wax worse and worse. You know, evil men, wickedness, and sin will permeate all parts of our society. It's no surprise what's going on these days, but either way, Jerusalem lieth in waste. But in a real sense, you know, as Nehemiah was calling to that wall, you know, he was rebuilding part of that protective structure that would protect the city, and, you know, and it was destroyed. There was no worship of God. There was no work there. There was nothing to build. They had to do something.
And Jerusalem lieth in waste. He was burdened about it. You know, in Bible college, you know, I hear great missions conferences, and we would get burdened. And around that time, God called Brenton to go to Africa. And at the same time, God called me to get burdened for America. I thought, you know, growing up, I really wasn't near a church. And being a northerner, there wasn't a lot of churches around. And God burdened me to go and do something because America was lying in waste. And certainly there's a need for the world. And I don't want to take away from the worldwide emphasis of missions, but there's definitely a need in America. Amen. Do you know there's 3,033 counties in America, and nearly 1,000 of the 3,000 counties don't have an independent Baptist church? That's a sad statistic. That's just having one in the county, and obviously population goals and how they rise. We need churches all across America. But Jerusalem lieth in waste. You know, somebody said that we have arrived at a crisis in the church, and we should awaken deep feeling of every heart. We have turned away from God. We have grievously backslidden and have fallen into open sins. We have brought dishonor on religion, opened the mouths of gainsayers, and made us a reproach, and by word before the world. That was spoken of in 1846 by this preacher Bidwell. You know, I feel if he were alive today, he'd be even more burdened to say the same words. But we've gone into a kind of an apathy of the need of the world, the need of America. But we need to get to the work of God. You know, someone else said, we've been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We've been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. And speaking of America, but we have forgotten God. Now, when I get to that, some of you that are history buffs may know who said that. But this man, we don't want to say we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied, enriched, and strengthened us. Abraham Lincoln on the National Day of Fasting, Humiliation, and Prayer. We've gone so far away from our founding fathers and what America stood for and the freedoms. And, you know, we're not guaranteed to always have an American prophecy, but either way about it, we need to get to the work of God. We have right now freedom to go in any part of America and plant a church. We have freedom in most foreign countries to plant a church. We need people to surrender to the work of God and get busy because Jerusalem lieth in waste. Jerusalem lieth in waste. I want you to turn to a verse. Look at chapter 2, verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17 of Nehemiah. Chapter 2, verse 17. And we'll also read 18. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in. Praise God for every preacher that has a missions conference that says, look, we're in distress. Our church needs to get more busy in missions. You say, well, we had a missions conference last year. We are a missions-minded church. We've got the flags. Well, we need to go on. America is still just as needy as yesterday. But there's a distress that we're in. How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. You know, the sad reality about Staten Island is not that there's not a building that I could rent. I just need the money for it. But, you know, there's buildings for rent. There's tons of them. We could plant churches all over Staten Island. You just need some money for it. But, you know, there's buildings. There's a way. All you need is a man surrender to it. We could do it. And most countries in America are like that. You can get a storefront. You can get a school. You can get a hotel, you know, a conference room. You can plant a church. We need men and women, we need specifically young men, to surrender to that ministry and young ladies that will marry these men and send forth church planters. We need foreign missionaries. Boy, there's a work. Boy, there's a rubble in America, but it's a spiritual rubble. See, as you go around, you don't really see that. If you go up in the Empire State Building and you look out on the buildings, there's not really a whole lot of rubble. Of course, around 9/11 there was. But, you know, there's not rubble. There's big, beautiful buildings, but there's a spiritual waste. It's lying in waste. It was physically for him. But look at verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. He said, God is good. God can do this. God's been good to me. And also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. The king gave me commandment to do it. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Hey, praise God. You know, God saves people in Staten Island. He does. Just last week, one of our college students has been attending the church that has recently been saved a little bit ago. We led her friend to the Lord, and she's going to be discipled. You know, God can do it. We need to recognize the need that's in America, the need in the world to get to the work of God. You see, the work of God was destroyed, and the worship of God was in ruins. Look over I'll just read it. Jeremiah 5, 7 and 9. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by them that there are no gods. When I had fed them to be full, they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlot's house. So they were fed. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Speaking of Jerusalem. But God said, I'm concerned about what you're involved with. You know, God's always been concerned with his people. He holds his people to a high standard. He said, look, my church isn't doing what it ought to. You know, praise God, you're a missions-minded church, your church, but there's many churches that aren't like that. We need to recognize the worship of God was in ruins, and God was concerned always about their sins and what they're involved in, and the city was falling apart. And he said, we ought to build this wall. And Nehemiah got up and strengthened his hands, said, God's been good, we're going to build this wall. The wall of God was broken down. Far from being overchurched, America is drastically underchurched. The church-to-population ratio has been steadily declining for the past century, 11 to 10,000 citizens, and that's a big number. But you know, you think about all the churches that would involve itself with, Mormon churches, Scientology churches, Catholic, Church of Satan, unbiblical churches, hate-filled churches, unbiblical churches, this would all be that. But they say, we're under church. We only have 10 churches to 10,000 citizens, and the world says we need more churches. You know, I say we need more biblical churches. What kinds of churches do we need? We need biblical, soul-winning, on fire for God, churches that will get out there and get the work done. Amen. You know, we think, well, there is mega churches, right? There's, you know, some towns got these mega churches. You know, sadly, these mega churches often are so focused on their what they're doing, they do virtually no outreach. Jeremiah 15:6 said, Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward. Therefore, while I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee, I am weary with repenting. God said that. I'm weary of repenting of what I said I would do. I would challenge your sin, be against it. I would rebuke you for it and even judge you for it. I'm just weary of repenting. You've said, oh, I'll get right. I'll be burdened to be a witness for you. You know, but God said, I'm weary of you just keep saying that. And you don't do it, then you say you're sorry that you didn't do it, then you say you'll do it again. And God said, I'm sorry with this back and forth thing. Why don't you just serve me? Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They've replaced me. See, we replace God with the TV. We replace him with our creature comforts. We replace him with an American version of Christianity, which is often not very biblical. We need to get back to serving God. We can all do something in the work of God. The Jerusalem lieth in waste. Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. What's the reason I can't come down from the wall? Because Jerusalem lieth in waste, and it's time to build. Number two, the reason I can't come down from the wall, and you should not either, is because the enemy is fighting. Now, chalk it down. You do something for God, you begin to witness, you begin to say, all right, well, I probably should go in my community, I probably should talk to my neighbors, maybe bake them a cake and, you know, give them a gospel track. I ought to do something, you know, God's burdened me for it. Chalk it down, the enemy will fight it. Guaranteed. Satan does not like that, the enemy doesn't care, but he's going to fight that. The enemy is fighting. But that's not we shouldn't react to that and say, oh, well, you know, throw in the towel. Let's put up the white flag. We'll give up. It's time to not quit when that happens. Turn to chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It's interesting what happens here. The enemy comes to Nehemiah. They didn't really care when he wasn't building the wall. They didn't care when he wasn't doing anything. But he decides that God's led him, that he has the king's decree. He goes to build the wall. Then the enemy fights, well, obviously. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem-Rabba and the rest of the enemies heard that we had built the wall, and there was no breach left upon him, and they came together, look at verse 2, and they thought to do me mischief. They thought to do me harm. They thought to do something against me. And then, of course, that's when he said, I'm doing a great work. But they thought to do him mischief. You know what the definition of that idea means? It's just bad, evil, giving pain, unhappiness or misery. You know, when you work for God in any ministry or anything for God, there's going to be misery. There's going to be people that are thinking to do you pain. They may even be believers, but they're going to do you pain. You know, all these enemies of God heard that this was happening in verses 1 and 2, and they thought to do him some pain. They wanted to give him some grief, some pain, some hurt inside. The enemy wanted to distract, deter, divide, destroy, and damage the work of God. He was not satisfied that he was building a wall. You know, what does a wall do? Of course, it does protect the city. But even at that, the enemy said, well, we got to get this wall. I know it's just a wall, but we're going to destroy this thing. Just a very wall. You do anything for God, the enemy will fight it. But praise God, God is greater than the enemy. God is greater than the pain. God is greater than the discouragement. Be encouraged because God's for you. God is for this thing to increase your compassion and renew it during this conference and to help for God to help you to reach this lost world. The enemy will fight that. But it came to pass. They thought to do him mischief. They wanted to hinder the work of God. Let me give you some ways Satan fights the Christian. He slanders God to you in order to cast doubt on God's goodness. He may tempt and deceive you. He may corrupt your mind and steer you away from the simplicity in Christ. He will wrestle against you. He will tempt you to commit sexual immorality. He will harass you. He will blind your spiritual eyes. He may blind the spiritual eyes of your unsaved family and friends. He may keep your unsaved acquaintances in bondage of sins, so they won't be saved. He wants to murder people. He wants to smite you. He wants to sow tares among the wheat. He wants to lead others toward theological compromise. He will most assuredly slander you before God in heaven, and he'll go and accuse you before God of heaven, and he'll ask God for permission to sift you like wheat, like he did with Peter. Hey, can I just sift him? Can I roll him around? And he even wanted to touch the body of Job. It wasn't good enough that he murdered all of Job's family. He said, no, I want Job's body. I want him to feel the pain. I don't want him just to hurt from all the death of his livestock and family. I want to hurt his body. Never forget that. Some of our ailments could be Satan motivated. Hey, Job was a believer. He believed God. He followed God. But still, Satan touched his body and God allowed it for a purpose. Hey, Satan fights the Christian. He does fight the unsaved, but don't ever think just because you have the Holy Spirit that he won't fight you. He can't possess you, but he sure will fight you. Mark it down. Put that in the back of your mind. Maybe he's not fighting you right now, but guaranteed you step out by faith, say, I believe God's going to use me. He'll fight you. He'll fight you all the way. Hey, I could spend the rest of this message and tell you how he's fought us in Staten Island. We are in his backyard. We're probably in his front yard. We're where Satan's had a foothold for a long period of time, where there was really no church. And we put a church right smack dab where Satan was. Praise God. You know, Satan was aware that we did that. Because of the fall of Adam, every human being has a fleshly nature in him or her. That fleshly nature has fleshly desires, and those desires can result in fleshly sinful actions if we follow them. Understand that even some believers, if given to their flesh, that sinful flesh, they're going to fight even what we do when we build that work of God. And if you want a list of all that sin, go turn to Galatians 5. You can see all that, but there's selfishness, destructive addictions. There'll be all kinds of things the enemy will fight, the flesh will fight. Satan will lie, cause you to doubt, tempt, destroy, fight, and devour, depress you, and try to dominate you. But greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. We do not agonize in prayer. We do not lay hold the horns of the altar and cry mightily to God and wrestle him as his servants did, who prevailed. We do not read the scriptures and hear the word of God and love and meditate upon it as we ought to. We are not faithful enough to each other as Christian brethren. We fall into sin and backslide and bring reproach upon the cause of Christ. And we suffer each other to go on without laboring with each other and admonishing and reproving one another as it is our solemn duty to do. You know, I like to picture it like this. You know, I won't say football game. I'll say basketball game. I like to picture a game, whatever sport you like. And it's sometimes the enemy, it's not so much that it's the coach is the enemy or other players or even the other team. You know where the enemy is? It's the guy in the stands calling down saying, hey, coach, I'd do it this way. Hey, you know, all-star players, you know, you aren't passing the ball right. You're doing this wrong. They're up there naysaying. But you know what? As we're building the work of God, we can't come down to that. We can't give ear to the fan in the nosebleed section calling to us that they understand the plays. They think they're the coach. Hey, I'm busy playing the game. I'm busy building the wall. I can't listen to you. You're not the coach. You're not the player. You didn't grab the ball and try to shoot the ball. You didn't grab the football and try to score a touchdown. I can't listen to that right now. But all the while, the enemy's saying, hey, just come down a little bit. Just come down from the wall. We've got to talk to you this morning. No. He'll try to depress you, devour you, and dominate you. But greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. I can't come down this morning. because Jerusalem lieth in waste. There's a need in America. There's a need in the world. And I can't come down because the enemy is fighting. Number three, and probably my favorite point about all this, the reason I can't come down this morning, the reason I can't come down in Staten Island, that by God's grace, He'll allow me not to quit, and we may be tempted to quit, but I can't come down because I'm doing a great work. Not that I'm a great person. Oh, there's better people than me. There's a church planter out there that could probably plant a better church and do a great job, but the work is great. You see, the work is great. The people are great. God saves people. It's a great work. It's a great work. Now turn to chapter 6 and look at verse 3. I'm doing a great work. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work. He said, let me get this straight, enemies of God. Let me make this very clear. I'm doing a great work. It's a very important work. I'm doing a great work here for God. God is the most important thing in my life. I can't come down. So that I cannot come down, why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Hey, I'm busy hammering. I can't hear you right now. I'm trying to nail this hammer down. I can't hear you right now. I'm working my drill. I'm trying to build this thing. I'm breaking these rocks apart, trying to build this wall. I can't hear you right now. I can't hear over the work. It's too loud. I can't come down to you. Hey, I can't come down this morning because I'm doing a great work. There's much we can say about this work, but I want to make it clear this morning. The work is great. Not that I am great, but the work is great. Amen. What this church is trying to do is a great work. It's trying to increase our compassion for missions and trying to get the gospel out. That's a great work. That's a great work to get the gospel to every home in this region, as we would do the same in Staten Island, as other missionaries would do in their prospective fields. It's a great work. You know, it's a great experience. I've experienced things that are just mind-boggling, just kind of hard to even describe, but it's a great experience to see what God has done. It's great to see people that, you know, just last week when I led that young girl to the Lord, it was one of our college students, brought her friend, and she said to her friend, you know, hey, I know you've been having a lot of questions about stuff. Here's my pastor. You know, why don't you ask him some of the questions that you've had? And she said, I've always wondered about death. I think anxiety, what's going to happen after death. Hey, praise God. That was a great experience to share with someone who's been Catholic their entire life and show them what God did for them on the cross. It's a great experience. It's a great sacrifice. It's a great grace given. He bestowed upon me, and the grace was not in vain, Paul said. When God saved me, he didn't lose out. I served Him abundantly. The Lord not only saved us, but He bestowed upon us a sustaining and enabling grace whereby we can serve and glorify Him. It's great people. I could tell you how we led Tanisha to the Lord, and of course our kids started coming first, and they got saved, and then Tanisha got saved. I could tell you how Miss Beverly was sitting outside of her house, and we had a youth group coming to visit to help us out, and there's always a blessing to have a youth group come, but they talked to Miss Beverly, and she joined our church. You know, I think about Russell, who was saved and baptized in Russia, found us on the website, attended our church, and is faithful almost every Sunday. You know, I can tell you of other stories to where just people have came in. I remember no one showed up on a Thursday night, and we just went to prayer. We said, you know what, why don't we just pray that somebody comes, you know? We prayed, and someone just, as we were praying, came in and said, praise God, I just made it in time. And it was a couple minutes after it started, and they said, I'm glad I made it on time. And then we had our service. I could just go on and on and on. You know, I think of even Emma, our college student, before we led her friend to the Lord. You know, we were standing outside of our house, And she comes and speaks to us, and she says, you know, I've been looking for a church. I just came down from upstate. You know, my mom lives next to you guys. You're kind of our neighbors, and I'm looking for a small church. And I said, praise God, I can tell you about a small church. You know, I pastor one. So, you know, it's great people. I could talk all this morning about the great people. It's a great work because it's great people. It's great services. It's great victories. It's great valleys. It's great sad times, but it's great too. It's great because God brings us through those sad times to the victories. It's great memories. It's great salvations. And every time I've seen someone get saved in Staten Island, it's like God saying, this is why you're here. This is why you're doing what you're doing. The work is greater. Look at verse 4. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 4. Well, they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. You see, we need a holy resolve when we get to the work of God. It's going to keep coming. So don't think, you know, I'll stand for God and I'll ignore that enemy the first time. You know, the sad reality is they came four other times. Come down from the wall. Hey, Nehemiah, come down from the wall. Hey, Nehemiah, hey, if I didn't make it clear before, come down from the wall. We need you to come down. Hey, Nehemiah, come down from the wall. And he answered the same way. I can't do that. I can't come down. The work is greater than the messages of the enemy. Hey, delete that text. Hang up that phone. When the enemy tries to call you or send you a text or do whatever it's trying to do, the work is greater than the message of the enemy. The work is greater than the laughter of the enemy. In verses 19 and 20 of chapter 2, they laughed at him. The work is greater than the laughter. I've never met anyone who didn't want their lives to matter, someone said, to make a lasting difference. People would like to think that at the end of their lives they did something significant and they can be remembered for. No one wants the memory of their life consigned to oblivion. And yet this is what happens with entirely too many believers. They live their lives in a mundane manner, doing mundane things that have little or no impact on eternity for those around them. C.H. Spurgeon said, "Brethren, be great believers. Little faith will bring souls to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your souls." We believe God at His Word. I don't really have money to give to missions. I don't know if I could do that. Well, just believe God. If God's called us to do this, if we see it in Scripture, the idea of faith promise, giving out of great affliction and great poverty, and we see that principle, then I can trust God for that. I don't know, you know, as the missionary even said, he's a little more reserved. I'm probably the opposite of your brother, sorry. But whether you're extroverted or introverted, God can use every single person. Amen. It doesn't matter who you are, what personality you have. Hey, there's some quiet people in here. They need to reach some quiet people. There's some loud people. You know, there's people that I think I run into. I think we run into all the crazies. God just lets us reach all the crazy people. But it's all right, you know, praise God for that. And there's some quiet people that need to be reached. Maybe if I talk to the quiet people, they'll just be offended immediately. But, you know, up north where they're just in your face, I just get right back in their face. You know, God's put me where I need to be. And God will put you where you need to be. And in fact, you are where you need to be. And you can be used right here in your neighborhood, among your neighbors, and in your city. The work is great. I can't come down from the wall. But I may feel like I want to. I may feel a little tired. My arms may feel like rubber after I swing that hammer and I do the work of God. But I can't come down because Jerusalem lieth in waste. There's a work to be done. The enemy is fighting and there's a great work. We can't come down. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, would you use us to build the work of God? Would you help us to build the wall? Help us to make sure our church is properly built with a wall of missions around our church, recognizing you've told us to go and make disciples of all nations, and we're to teach them to observe all things. I pray you'd help us to do that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you a couple questions. First of all, if you say this morning, "Pastor Dave, if I died right now, I'm not sure where I'd go. I came to church today, no one's clearly told me what Jesus did for me. If I died right now, I'm not 100% certain I'd go to heaven." Is there anybody like that? Then I'm just not 100% certain. I've been having some doubts about salvation. Anybody like that? I'd like to pray for you. Anybody at all? Just raise your hand. All right, I see one hand. Anybody else? If I died right now, I'm not 100% certain I'd go to heaven. I see that hand. Anybody else? There's two people raising your hand. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Well, real quickly, if you did raise your hand and you need someone to help you to be certain of salvation, if you would just get out of your seat right now and come forward, pastor and somebody up here will help you, and they can tell you about what Jesus did for you. Just come out and get out of your seat right now and come talk to pastor or whoever. Yeah. And there was another person to raise their hand. If you died today and you don't know where you'd go, you're not 100% certain, get that settled today. Don't live your life with doubts. All right, Christians, pray for others as some are making their way toward the front. Let me ask you a second question, which really is the message. What do you say, "Pastor Dave, I just don't feel as if God can use me to build this great work, and I just feel I'm so inadequate, but as you preached, I really believe I have a bigger confidence that God could use me, but I need to get more involved in missions, whether giving more, becoming a better witness in my neighborhood, among my neighbors and those around me. But God's spoken to me just about being more confident and trusting Him by faith that He can use me to do whatever He's called me to do, whether it is by giving or being a better witness. But God's spoken to me this morning, and can you pray for me, Pastor Dave?" Anybody like that? I see those hands. Just pop it up and put it back down again. Thank you for being honest. Let me ask you a third important question. We can't preach a message like this to where God used greatly Nehemiah in such a great way. But if you say this morning, "Pastor Dave, would you pray for me? I think God's called me to full-time Christian work, to be a pastor, youth pastor, an assistant, or a missionary of some kind. But God's called me to the ministry. And Pastor Abe, would you pray for me? I think God's leading me into ministry. Anybody like that this morning? I think God's called me to that. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? I see that hand in the back. You can put your hand down. God's called me to the ministry. I think He wants me to do something for Him in His great work. All right, see that hand? You can put your hand down. I think it was just a few there, four or five or so. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, many decisions this morning. It's beyond what we can even accommodate. Lord, I just feel as if, Lord, You need to do Your work. If it's ministry, Lord, may You open doors of opportunity. May You show them the certain Bible college, help them to prepare. Help them to prepare even now and to start serving now. And Lord, for those that are dealing with salvation and maybe the doubts that come with that, would You make that clear? And also for trusting You by faith, recognize we have the confidence in You that we can place our faith to trust You to help us to give to missions and to be a witness. I pray You'd use us this morning. Lord, may Your work be done. May the Holy Spirit of God, as we continue to pray, would do His great work and He would lead people into their decision making. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.